Miss Ann. So normally I walk up here with my Bible, and you may have noticed I didn't today, and that's not because we're jettisoning the authority or the importance of the Bible. It's because another brother is going to be opening God's Word for us this morning. So I just want to introduce Jonathan. Jonathan, you can come ahead up. We ultimately want to be a net exporter of gospel truth, and that also means that we need to be an exporter of gospel proclaimers, of gospel preachers, of disciple makers. And Jonathan is a member of our church who aspires to pastoral ministry, and we see evidence of growing godly character in his life and also gifting to open and teach God's word. And so it's our joy this morning for him to lead us to consider Luke chapter 2. So let's turn our hearts to the Lord's word.
Good morning. Would you take your Bible with me and turn to Luke chapter 2, be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. On Friday, December 25th, 1863, a man by the name of Henry Longfellow sat down and started writing. He had been widowed 2 years earlier when his wife's dress caught on fire. His son Charles would enroll and fight in the army and fight in the Civil War. And in November of that year, 1863, Charles would be shot, and doctors would think that he would be paralyzed. So Henry Longfellow would sit down and write a poem on December 25th, 1863, about the bells he heard on Christmas Day. I think some of us might resonate with part of this poem this morning. So here's the words he wrote. Their old familiar carols play, wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along, the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Often we can feel the same way around this season, but as we look to Luke 2, I hope that our hearts would be encouraged. Luke 2 presents good news in a weary world, so that our hearts would respond like the song of the angels. I'm going to pray that the Lord would seat his truth in our heart, encourage us this morning, and then we'll read Luke 2 together. Father God, we can come in here weary. Father, come in here maybe brokenhearted, maybe feeling the brokenness of the world today. I pray that you would encourage us, that you would fan the flame in our heart. And if our affections are strong for you right now, that you would also continue to fan the flame in our heart. Father, we know that you say, come to you, all who are weary and heavy laden. So, Father, pray that we would do that and that we would leave this place encouraged by your Spirit with more joy in our heart, resting in the true reason of Christmas, of your coming. Father, pray that as I preach that you would move with your Spirit. Pray and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothing and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Again, Luke 2 presents good news in a weary world so that our hearts would respond like the song of the angels. Like a play in a drama, we see three scenes unfolding here in Luke 2. Scene 1, we see a weary world. We see this in verses 1 through 8 in chapter 2. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. So now Joseph and a pregnant Mary would have to make this trip. This trip would take anywhere from 4 days to a week to make. It would be inconvenient for anybody, much less a nine-month pregnant Mary. There would probably be some sort of health risk involved as they made this trip with Mary. But the government had commanded them to make this trip. So, in fact, the brokenness of the world that we see here in Luke 2 is that the Son of God would be born and laid in a manger, for there would be no place in him in the inn after this trip. But this was part of God's plan. You may not have had to travel 9 months pregnant, but you do feel the brokenness and the weariness of this world in some way. There are so many things that can make us remember that this world is weary and broken. For my family during this season is especially hard because of the loss of my twin brother on December 20th, 2017. For you, it also may be the loss of a loved one, whether around this time of year or not. It might be business. It might be all the rushing around, the mundaneness of your job. Or maybe you're just tired and you haven't been able to slow down. Maybe your kids are just taking a lot out of you right now. Whatever it is, we are reminded constantly that we live in a weary and broken world. But we must remember that God is still working when the world seems weary. Whatever weariness or brokenness that you are experiencing right now, God is working. God was working in Luke 2 to provide a place and a time for his promises to be fulfilled. In his providence, he brought Mary and Joseph to the place where it would be promised that the Savior would be born. God works in a broken world. Like the strokes of a paintbrush, we may only see the hurt and the pain, but God is painting a master of his glory and our good. Paul tells us as much in Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. God was working in Luke 2 to bring his son into the world. and in turn bring good news of great joy into the world. Which brings us to scene two, good news of great joy. See this in verses 9 through 12. In the text, we see four reasons that the birth of Christ is good news of great joy. Reason number one, it is for all people. This promise was not just for some, but for all people, extended to the ends of the earth. It was for the Jew and the Gentile, the Greek and the barbarian. It would be for their sons and daughters and their sons and daughters. It would be for all nations and people. Listen to how John describes in the book of Revelation the fulfillment of the birth of Christ being for all people. And after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and the Lamb, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." We are part of all people. Part of the good news is that it was good news for us. Imagine for a minute you have a rare disease. There's no cure for it. And other people you know have gotten ill as well. You know that you're probably not going to survive much longer. And in your moment of deepest despair, someone who is also sick runs up to you. His face full of excitement, and he starts yelling at you before he even reaches you. They found a cure. They found a cure. That cure would do you no good if you did not receive it. If the cure was not offered to you, you would still die. Our disease was sin, and the cure that was offered to us was the gospel. When it came to us, it was always meant to be on its way to someone else. This good news is for all people. It's for us. And it's for the people who don't look like us, don't talk like us, or dress like us. The gospel crosses political and social lines. It is offered to the very lowly and to the powerful. This gospel knows no earthly bounds, and it's extended to all peoples. Reason number two, Jesus is the promised son of David. We read in Micah 5, 2 through 4, "But you, O Bethlehem, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and in majesty, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." Jesus is the promised Savior. He is of the lineage of David as promised. This shows us that Christ would be the fulfillment of the promises in the Old Testament. This phrase does not just point us back to David, it does so, but it points us to all the promises made concerning the one, the son of David, the one who would save his people. It was promised that God would raise one up from the lineage of David, whose house should be established forever. It says in Samuel, 2 Samuel 7, "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever." This is talking about Jesus. This would be the one on whom all the promises of God would rest. He is the promised one in Genesis 3. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah as promised. He is the one who would spiritually lead his people from exile into the promised land. He's the son of David. He would be from the tribe of Judah, as it was promised, and he'd be the suffering servant. And he fulfills all the promises made about him in the Old Testament. It was also promised that Jesus would save people from their sin. Which brings us to the third reason why the birth of Jesus is good news. The birth of Jesus is good news because Jesus is the promised Savior. From Genesis 3:15 onward, all of heaven and earth held its breath, waiting on this promised Savior to come. We had kept glimpses of the Savior throughout the whole Old Testament, but who can save? It must be one that could make peace between man and God. It would have to be one sinless and perfect. It would have to be one after God's own heart. It would have to be one all-powerful who could forgive sins and one who could absorb the full wrath of God. It must be God himself. It must be Jesus, the only Son of God who would come, and he would live a perfect and sinless life so that we and die a death that we deserve. He would die for us in our place. He says, come to him and he will not cast you out. If you are here and you are not a believer today, then know, he wants you to come to him and to believe in him. And if you are a believer here today, then rest in the gospel. For this is the good news, that he saved us from our sins. And he has given us new life. And he will not leave you. Sometimes we can think that Jesus being a Savior is only good news for those who have not heard it before. But church family, it is good news for us. For those who have heard it 1,000 times, we will need to hear it 1,000 more. Because he is the one who saves us. And he will keep us. And he will hold us. Jesus says, all the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. John Bunyan, writing on this verse, says this. But I am a great sinner, say you. I will no wise cast you out, says Christ. But I am an old sinner, say you. I will no wise cast you out, says Christ. But I am a hard-hearted sinner, say you. I will in no way cast you out, says Christ. But I am a backsliding sinner, say you. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. But I have served Satan all my days, say you. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. But I have sinned against light, say you. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. But I have sinned against mercy, say you. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. But I have no good thing to bring with me, say you. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. Jesus is a promised Savior. Reason number 4, the birth of Jesus is good news for us, is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus came as God, wrapped in frail humanity. But make no mistake about it, he is Lord. He's the beginning and the age of the He's the beginning and the end. Ages do not date him, and time does not age him. He was before all things and created all things. He was and is to come. His glory fills the earth in every last corner. Demons tremble at his name. All of the earth is for his glory. The flower in a field that no one seas bows to him. The oceans submit to him. And he speaks a word and galaxies are formed. He is the lamb that was slain and the roaring lion conquering all that oppose him. This is the Lord that will come again, and every heart will bow to him, and everyone will confess that he is Lord and that he reigns forever. This is the Lord that will restore all things right again. He is the God of all things that were and that are and that will come. So place your hope in the crucified and reigning Lord. What do we have to fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? He offers us hope because of his power and because he's the crucified and reigning Lord. Even the secular world recognized that during the Christmas season, there's something different. they're looking for hope and finding it during this season, but and offering it during this season, but it's a false hope. The world offers a cotton candy hope that promises a lot, but has no substance. Brothers and sisters, we have a hope built on a solid foundation. Our hope is built in the crucified and reigning Lord. Listen to how our hope ends in Revelation 21, 2 through 6. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as the bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be there with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." We can put our hope in the Lord Jesus and rest in the good news because it is for us. It is for all people. He is the Son of David and the promised Savior. He is the Lord. Which brings us to our third scene. Scene 3, a new song. Because of our hope in Christ, we can sing a new song. The angels have been singing glory to God since their creation. We see this in Isaiah 6 when they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We see this in Revelation 5 as every creature, including the angel, sings the same refrain again. "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." The angels will sing of the glory of God for all eternity. But a new refrain is added in Luke 2. "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." For because of Christ's life and death, there could now be peace among God and people. For this was the greatest way in which the world needed peace. We needed peace with God. And we can see his love and goodwill towards us in sending Jesus. Our hearts can now sing with joy and hope. So, sing with the angels, the song of eternity. Now, I don't necessarily mean literally sing the same song as the angels, though as we very similarly just did, we sung glory to God, the highest. But sing the songs of goodness and praise and remembrance. Throughout the Bible, we see that his people respond to his goodness with songs of praise and remembrance because of his birth, death, and resurrection. We can sing in response to his greatness with joy. We might have felt the words of Longfellow so heavily when we walked in today, but Longfellow did not end his poem with the words of despair, but with hope in Christ. I'm going to reread the poem again, but include the last stanza. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how was the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime on peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned on peace, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearth stones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song on peace, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God's not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Indeed, we live in a weary world, but the good news of great joy drowns out that weariness. And what great joy is ours now? So would you get ready to lift your voice in response? Father God, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us and sending your Son. Again, I pray that our hearts are encouraged today and that if we were ready for Christmas, that this would just make us more ready. And if we weren't, that this would set our hearts upon you and the joy of your birth and your coming and your death. Father, I pray that as we get ready, that we would remember what this season is about. Father, pray for those who have come in weary and broken. Would you continue to encourage their hearts through your Spirit? Father, pray as we travel to see family, that we would be light and that we would be agents of your glory. Father, pray that you'd keep us safe as we travel and that we would remember the song of the angels. Glory to God. Peace on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Father, I pray that we would extend the same grace which you've extended us to others. Father, I pray that if opportunities would come, that we could share our faith, that you would give us the boldness and the courage to do so. Pray if anyone in this room does not know you, pray that you would move in their hearts and stir with your Spirit. Father, I pray that they would have a conversation with a believer afterwards, with Andy, with myself, or someone else in this room. Father, we pray all these things, knowing that you can do far more abundantly than we ask or think. In Christ's name, amen.